us to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I prove Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust His cleansing blood, just in simple faith to trust Him more. I'm so glad I learned to trust Thee, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that Thou art with me, will be with me till the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I prove Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, trust Him more. Let's sing that verse. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more.
Amen. I think that first verse alone pretty well sums it up for a believer. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word. If you do that right there, everything that you deal with the rest of your life is covered. Because He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you, Brother Steve. That's it in a nutshell. Isn't it wonderful? In a season of Thanksgiving, we got so many things to be thankful for. But I'm certainly thankful that before the foundation of the world, He chose me. And regardless of what I'm having to go through here in this earth, I know it's all taken care of. He's got it all in control. Certainly is good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. I know it's cold and rainy and damp on the inside. But if you brought your little lick of fire with you this morning, we can make it spiritually rainy and warm in here. Amen. Are you ready to have some church this morning? Amen. Give me the key of G there, Sister Ray. I just like to sing this song here. This first verse pretty well says it. I am thinking of a rapture in that blessed home on high. That's our hope. And I'm looking forward to that.
I am thinking of the rapture in our blessed home on high, when the redeemed are gathering in. How we'll praise the heavenly anthem in that city in the sky, when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, and the redeemed are gathering in, washed like snow and free from all sin. How we'll shout and how we'll sing when the redeemed are gathering in. There will be a great procession over on the streets of gold when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, on music, oh, on singing, oh, the city will be rolled when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, and the redeemed are gathering in, washed like snow and free from all sin. How we'll shout and how we'll sing when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, saints will sing redemption story with their and strong when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, I love this. And all the angels all will listen, for they cannot join that song when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, when the redeemed are gathering in, washed like snow and free from all sin. How we'll shout, gathering in. Oh, play one. Redeemed are gathering in, and we'll hear his invitation, come ye blessed of the Lord, when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, when the redeemed are gathering in, washed like snow and free from all sin. How we'll shout and how we'll redeemed are gathering in. Oh, one more time. Oh, and the redeemed are gathering in, washed like snow and free from all sin. How we'll shout and how we'll sing when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, I'm looking forward to that. Oh, I've got so much to thank Him for, so much to praise Him for. You see, God has been so good to me. When I think, oh, to thank Him for. When I look around and see the good things that He's done for me, I know I'm unworthy of Him all. Think about it. But His blessing, I owe my whole life to Him.
Just wonderful. Amen. We're going to change the order of the service here, and before we take our prayer request before the Lord, let's just sing that song, I Stand in Awe. You are beautiful beyond description. Too marvelous for words. So make it personal now. Wonderful for comprehension, like nothing ever seen or heard. Who can grasp your infinite wisdom? Who can fathom the depth of your majesty enthroned? Amen. As the musicians play that softly. There's quite a few that's not here today. We know that there's a lot traveling for the holiday. We do have a lot of needs among us. We're a needy people. And as long as we're in this earthly flesh, we're going to be a needy people. But we have an absolute, and we have someone that's got all those needs already met. Amen. I'd like for you to remember my mom, Sister Shirley, this morning. She is really not feeling well. She's battling with some vertigo and a severe headache this morning. And we just ask you to remember her. Also, I want you to continue to remember Brother Larry Pruitt. He wanted to be here this morning, but I see he was not able to make it, so let's remember him. We want to remember Sister Caitlin Florian. She needs a touch in her body. Also want to continue to remember Sister Karen Buchanan as well, as she's been battling some problems with her knees for quite some time, and it's very difficult for her to get around, so just remember her. Also, want you to remember my wife. She's really, really struggling with her back. And we made a little trip up to visit with her folks yesterday, and the trip was just about more than she could deal with. So just remember her in prayer this morning. Also, I'd like to ask you to remember her folks in prayer, her dad and mom. They're just really needing a touch in their body as well. Also, we want to remember Sister Kim Ward. This morning, she's not feeling well today and is not with us. Also, we want to remember to pray for little Ava. She's not feeling well also. Also, Macy and Sabrina Stevens are at home with bronchitis. We want to remember them. We want to remember Mark and Jackie. They're not with us today. They're away traveling. We want to continue to remember Sister Carol Henley. We also want to remember Brother David Whitlock as he's having to work in the Pascals. We want to remember them. He got called in. He stays on call about 24 hours a day, so we want to remember them. They would certainly like to be here. I know there's many unspoken requests among us. Amen. Just remember we serve a God that can and will. Amen. I'd like to ask Brother Keeney if he'd come lead these prayer requests before the Lord this morning. Amen.
Praise the Lord, church. We're happy to be here this morning. My friend, Brother Marcus Becker from Germany, is here, and so I've come over and want to sure support him this morning. But we're just proud to be with saints of like faith. God is a good God all the time. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you once again this morning, Lord. We count it a great privilege, Lord, to stand this group of people, Lord, who's made a stand for the Word of God in this hour. And Lord, we want to be found identified with that group of people. Father, we love you this morning. We want to proclaim the name of Jesus Christ, the name that's above all other names. And Lord, this morning as we come, Lord, being a visitor, Lord, I don't know all the people that was made requests for, but God, you know about each and every request. And Father, I pray that precious Holy Ghost would go, Lord, and minister to every soul, Lord, that has a need this morning. Lord, every soul in this church, Lord, whether it be physical, whether it be spiritual, whether it be financial, whatever it may be. God, we want to lift up the name of Jesus for those in need this morning. Lord, you've seen every unspoken request. Father, we pray that you'd have your way, Lord, in all that's said and done this morning. We pray, Father, that you would be merciful to your people. Lord, that you would reach out. Lord, you would fill the heart. Lord, you would fill the soul this morning, Lord. Surely, Lord, we come to this place, Lord, to hear from heaven this morning. Lord, if just one person were to hear from heaven, Lord, it would be worth it all. Lord, we give you praise and glory and honor this morning. Lord, we want to be found lifting up the name of Jesus. Have your way, Lord. We ask it all now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Brother King. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. Certainly glad each and every one of you is here today. We welcome all of our visitors. Good to see Sister Faye. She's not a visitor. She's still one of us. We're just letting her and Brother Wayne, we're just loaning them out for a little while. It's good to have them here. I don't have Ashley to come. Don't have any special requests this morning, so we're just going to, hopefully this won't irritate you too bad. I just got a song that I'd like to sing this morning. You know, we got... I can't think of a single family that I've talked to that is not going through something. Multiple things. It's not just one thing. Yes. But you know what that tells me? That tells me that squeeze is on. Yes. God's got to get us uncomfortable so that we want to get out of this pest house. And I tell you, it's starting to get pretty uncomfortable. And I'm ready to get out of here.
Sometimes it takes a mountain.
ushers come at this time. We'll receive our morning tithe and offering. Brother Mike, if you would bless the offering for us. Amen. As Brother Barry comes, let's sing that little chorus, "I worship you, Almighty God." I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. I worship you. That is what I want to do. I give you praise, for you are my righteousness. Oh, I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. Oh, I
sing it again now. Just focus on Him this morning. I worship you, Almighty God. Oh, there is none like you. Yes, I worship you. The Lord. Let's spread a little mercy this morning and shake hands with one another and say God bless you. Welcome, pilgrim, and you can be seated this morning. You may be seated. God bless you. Sister Faye, you might want to be ready. We are going to call upon you to sing, and we'll discuss your objections later after church. It's good to have you with us today. Good to have all of you here in the house of the Lord today, and we're missing a number of folks, but we are honored to have all of you here today, and it's a holiday weekend, and we never know on a holiday weekend, but we do know it's always good to gather in God's house, and we thank God for the message of the hour and for the light that God has given to us, and we are unashamedly proud of what God has done in this last day and proud to be a part of that. Very blessed. We are very blessed people. Blessed beyond measure. Great to have the Caps with us today. Kenny and Kim, God bless you. Good to have you here. Good to have the Sylvesters back from out west. There's no tornadoes out here, so it's better to be back here, Brother Mark. Good to have Brother John Harwell here today. Tapped into the Fountain of Youth. Oh, it's John Anthony. Good to have you here today. Sister Jean, God bless you. Good to have you here today. Always a pleasure to have you here. And today was going to be a unique day because we are honored, very honored, to have Brother Marcus Becker from Germany here today. He's going to be ministering this morning. And this evening we were going to have Brother Jason Watkins. And he was unable to come. And last night, unfortunately, his son Jonathan, you're aware of this. Okay, I didn't want to give you heart palpitations here. But last night, Jason's son Jonathan hydroplaned in his car and totaled his car, I believe. And they were uninjured, but they were certainly shaken up. And Brother Jason had to, he was on his way here, but had to go back to Beaufort to help with the arrangements and so forth with the police and so on. So he called me this morning and he begged to be excused. So he was going to be ministering here this evening, but we're going to have a surprise guest speaker this evening anyway. There were some requests that were not mentioned this afternoon or this morning, and I just wanted to bring those to you now before we have a word of prayer. Number one, we had a birthday last week that I did not get a chance to announce, and that is on November 28th, the world was blessed with Madeline Irish. Madeline, God bless you. Trust you had a wonderful birthday. December 4th is Adelaide Franklin's birthday out in Arizona, and December 7th is the Johnson anniversary, right? How many years? 28 years. Wonderful. Lord bless you. And we also, too, this afternoon we have a ladies event that's taken place in the fellowship hall afterwards. Now, guys, you're not welcome, and kids, don't go over. But I went over. And I'd just like to say this. This is just a comment, okay, for what it's worth. When the guys have an event, it's like the theme is Bob the Builder and newsprint tablecloths, you know, and that's all right. I get that. But when the ladies have an event, it's like the Biltmore done on steroids. And I'm just saying, we trust you have a wonderful afternoon over there, all right? Just saying. Next Saturday evening is a youth event, and the email is still to come. Saturday night, 6 o'clock in the Fellowship Hall. We're going to change up the schedule a little bit this year. It is for 13 and up who are single, and you still need to bring your ugly sweater. So that is going to be on this coming Saturday evening. I wanted to also mention as well that the rentals are away. When the door is unlocked, the rentals very often are gone. We don't know which way the wind bloweth, and neither do we always know where the rentals are, but they are in the country, so we miss them, and they'll be back, Lord willing, next week. Brother Aaron McGarry and his family are due tomorrow here in town, and we really do appreciate all the work that's gone into helping establish their household and set things up. They're very road-weary, and have spent a lot of time on the road, but they're anxious to get settled and get stopped and get homeschooling and so forth, so it'll be nice to have them with us as well. Sister April Grant, we want to remember her in prayer. Sister Sharon McCafferty, I mentioned in the email she had lost her uncle very suddenly in Kelowna, B.C., and the family was on their way there, and so we sure want to remember Sister Sharon and her whole family. We have a special request also given to us from Sister Judy Arnold in Illinois. And you've never met Sister Judy, but she's very much a part of our assembly and listens very, very faithfully and supports things. And she sent me this request about her nephew, and his name is Lucas Peterson, just a young man. He lives in Tucson, Arizona. And he's scheduled on Tuesday morning to have an aggressive brain tumor that is wrapped around the nerves behind one of his eyes removed by a neurosurgeon on Tuesday morning. They have advised him that this surgery is very dangerous because of the consequences. They say it can take from 6 to 16 hours. And so he has to begin that whole process at 5:30 in the morning on Tuesday. So she has asked for us to remember him in prayer. And I told her that we certainly would. And I told her, asked her as well if she could keep us posted so that we could pass that along to you as well and share his progress. But that's certainly a serious situation, especially for a young man. That's a difficult thing to face. So we would ask you to remember all of those needs in prayer and just trust that the Lord will undertake for those needs. Let's stand to our feet again, if you don't mind, and we're going to sing that little chorus, Have Your Way. And we're going to invite Brother Marcus to come. Now, Brother Marcus is from Germany. He is an associate with Brother Gerd Rodvold there. And Brother Marcus and I have many, many friends in common. As a matter of fact, he may tell you some of the things that he's written. He did a documentary on rock music many years ago that was very well published, and then also did another book in the footsteps of the prophet, and just some real contributions among the Bride of Christ. And Brother Marcus is very well traveled and well known around the country, and this happens to be here this week, and so we were just delighted to have him come and spend some time with us here today. So I'm sure you will enjoy the word of the hour, and we just would ask you just to put your feet under the table and pull on the gift. And God's always got something good to say when we gather together in his presence. So let's sing that little chorus before Sister Faye sings for us this morning. Have your way.
He forgot. I was hoping.
Love.
Praise the Lord. Let's stand to our feet again. Let's welcome our brother Marcus this morning. Thank you, Sister Faye. Always enjoy Sister Faye coming to sing for us. And there's some people in this church who will never be a guest. Never be a guest. Lord, I believe.
Music is softly playing. We can bow our heads, and if you have a request to the Lord, that the Lord may just use me to answer a question to your heart or just to be a blessing to you, you can raise your hands to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these wonderful songs that we were hearing and listening, and Father, now we ask that you just use me as a vessel, Father, to help your children and encourage them, Father, especially those who are weak among us. Sometimes we have our ups and our downs, Father. May you just come this morning and give a Thanksgiving day to us. Lord, may you bless this church and this whole day, Father. Father, may you bless your people Israel, Father. The natural Israel and the spiritual Israel may be blessed, Father. Because those who bless Israel, they are blessed, Father. And please bless our most noble pastor of the church back home in Germany. And so we lay everything into your hands. And may you answer to all the requests, Father. And we ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. God bless you, church. And I would like to read directly while we are standing in the word of the Lord. In the first book of the Corinthians, chapter 2. 1 Corinthians, chapter 2. And I would like for you to take it serious or literally what we are reading, even if you have just a German hillbilly to preach this to you, but we have something to say because we have a message. Huh? How abide we this morning in Hickory? Huh? Speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. And let us read in the book of Esther. Esther chapter 7. Verse 7, Esther 7, verse 7. And the king, arising from the banquet of wine in his wrath, went into the palace garden. And Haman stood up to make request for his life to Esther, the queen. For he saw that there was evil determined against him by the king. And the king returned out of the palace garden into the place of the banquet of wine. And Haman was fallen upon the bed whereon Esther was. Then said the king, will he force the queen also before me in the house? As the word went out of the king's mouth, they covered Haman's face. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. We may be seated. Now, it's my great privilege and my great honor to be here. And I was telling Brother Barry, I said I would be in the area and it would be not just nice to get acquainted with him and just have some time of fellowship because he has a tremendous reputation in Europe. And we know Brother Barry from the time of our most noble brother, Lonnie Jenkins, and I always wanted to meet him, and so it's my great pleasure to be among you, and he invited me for this morning to preach to you, and just having fellowship with him is just a wonderful thing. And bring greetings from my pastor, Brother Rodewald, in Germany, and from the church over there in Bielsburg, and certainly happy to see my friend Brother Kenny and his wife. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And so it falls to my lot to preach to you this morning. And Brother Barry, he said, well, Brother Marcus is quite traveling, and that's true. I hope I'm not hurting your feelings by saying the message that we believe did not come from America. It came from the presence of Almighty. Yeah? So we have no message on our own. And as we believe that a father is the head of his home, and a pastor is the head of a local church, and a messenger is the head of a church age, and Christ is the head of all seven messengers, we believe that the bride is the final voice at the final age, and Brother Bram said, under their messenger. So we have no thoughts of ourselves, and I would like to share with you this morning something wonderful. Because we preach or we speak wisdom. And it's not wisdom by Marcus Becker, but the wisdom that we have an open book. And we speak it to those who are perfect this morning. And this whole week I had quite some stations to go. And the main theme was always a thanksgiving. And let us have this morning a thanksgiving unto our Father. Because we find out that our Father is a wonderful person and a tremendous, tremendous character. And so I would like to dramatize a little bit the book of Esther, knowing that we have to understand that we are that Esther. I mean, that we're not telling now fairy tales, but we are that Esther. Now, please keep two things in mind during my preaching. First, you realize that I have a nice German accent. That means please take whatever I want to say instead of what I'm saying. Our sister Casey Strew always said, Brother Marcus, you're preaching Gringlish. That means German English. But I think I can utter some nice sounds unto the Lord, or some nice voices unto the Lord. And the other thing is, this is whatever I'm touching, whatever I'm preaching, please keep in mind, we always try to be in the balance, but let me say, if you have just a service left of maybe 90 minutes, you know, you cannot always bring the full picture. So I write it down, and as a self-assurance or self-security, I said, I do not make claims to be complete or completely balanced. It cannot be done in just 90 minutes, so I say it right beforehand. But we have a wonderful subject to go and a wonderful story if we see ourselves in that story. Now, the book of Esther is a strange book. Martin Luther wanted to throw the book into the river. He thought the book of Esther is not really pertaining to the Bible. And it is true that the New Testament never speaks about Esther. Jesus doesn't mention her. Paul doesn't mention her. And it was exactly not the time. So Martin Luther, as a reformer, was a little bit frustrated about the book of Esther. Because he said, first, it is too Jewish, that book. It's too Jewish. Second, he said, it's too feminish. Amen. And third, it doesn't contain the name of God in the book. So he wanted to throw it into the river. But the prophet of our age, he took that book. Because he understands that Esther speaks of a tremendous marriage. And he brings to our attention that the church is that kind of Esther. I mean, we don't live in the time of the beginning of the church ages. We live in the capping time. It's a special time that we live in. We cannot go back because this is invisible union. This is a time like never before. This is the time when light came upon that pyramid mountain. And according to the dream of Junior Jackson, light never shined upon this. So even not in the time of Paul. This is the time of adoption. This is the time of the manifestations of the sons and daughters of God. This is a special time. And we are a special people for a special time. Now look, I'm just reading, and you stay seated please. Because it was told to Esther, "For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall there be enlargement and deliverances arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Can you say amen? It's a special time. Now, there is a story behind Esther. Because right in the beginning, Esther, she has two names. One is Esther, that means star. But her true name is Hadassah, which means bride or murder. Right. And so we have to understand that when we came to this earth, we had already a story in the mind of God. Right. We are not just Americans. We are not just, our time span is not just 70, 80 years. No, we came from far. From the mind of God. And so there is a mystery in our own life. And only the message of the hour could reveal this mystery. Who we are. You see, one day there was a girl by the name of Eve in the Garden of Eden. And Eve, she was certainly very happy to be in that garden. And she was going to Mr. Elephant and says, "Mr. Elephant, can you just tell me where I'm coming from?" And Mr. Elephant said, "Look, we're enjoying that time, but I don't know neither what I'm doing here, what I'm..." And she went to different animals, maybe. Now, this is just my thought. Until Eve find out, only Adam can tell me who I am. Amen. Oh, there's only one who can tell us who we are. And that is our Father. Now, the Christian religion is a special religion. Because our Father is our bridegroom. Only Christian religion bring it. Our Father is at the same time our brother. Amen. And our brother at the same time is our faith, Savior. Amen. Not to go into all the question of the Godhead, as I told you in the beginning, I don't claim to be complete in all things. This is not a teaching about the Godhead. Please don't understand me wrong. But our judge is our attorney at the same time. Our Father is our friend. Our Father at the same time is our beloved. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Only Christianity can produce this. So Esther had a mystery in herself. Because the Bible says this. "Now in Shushan, the place, there was a certain Jew whose name was Mordecai, the son of Jair, the son of Shimei, the son of Kish a Benjamite, who had been carried away from Jerusalem with the captivity, which had been carried away with Jeconiah, king of Judah, from Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, who had carried away. And he brought up Hadassah, that is Esther, his uncle's daughter, for she had neither father nor mother, and the maid was fair and beautiful, whom Mordecai, when her father and mother were dead, took her for his own daughter." Now it's very, very seldom that the Bible tells about a girl, she had neither father and she had neither mother, but it remembers us to Melchizedek, who didn't have a father and who didn't have a mother. And you have to see that picture. And I just speak about the mind of God. But God had a family in His mind. And we were standing there, and God made that big family photo. And here we are, the sons and the daughters of God. Therefore, we are not arrogant. But we are proud. We have a reason to be proud because of our Father. Because we are the family of God. Amen. So here we are before the foundation of the world. And God just made in His mind a picture. And God took our souls and threw these souls, let me say it in my humble words, into seven church ages and unto seven into different countries and nations. And God knows one thing. When time is over, on the other side of time, the family of God will be together again. Until it comes to the point that Brother Branham said, God is not complete without you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. God put part of Himself into His children so He would not forget them to redeem them. And the children has a capacity that whenever they hear the message for their age, they have a receiver to understand that's not just a messenger. That is the voice of my Father. Through a messenger. So if we would be children of God before the foundation of the world, in the mind of God, okay, then if we would live in the time of Martin Luther, we would have understood the message of Martin Luther. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So the family of God is not made together by any kind of a human fellowship. It is God's family from the foundation of the world. Now that means nobody can preach you into the family of God. And nobody can preach you out of the family of God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So therefore we are so thankful. Now the background of that story is the mighty king. And the whole Bible and the whole message. I always say this, look, this is your book. It tells your story. This morning you have to understand you are that Esther. And it always speaks about a tremendous rich man and a poor woman. It's always the same story. Let me say, for example, about poor Ruth and rich Boaz. There's different other stories that there's a rich man and an extremely poor woman. Take the example of Brother Branham, the rich farmer from Chicago searching a bride. Who does he find? Extremely poor woman. So we have a tremendous bridegroom who owns all heavens and all earth. And we have an extremely poor bride who owns nothing, but he fell in love with her. Now the story, the background is that king, he made some kind like a banquet, like a feast. And at a certain moment, he calls his wife Vashti to join them. And Vashti refused to come. Now that subject this morning is not dealing of marriage and divorce. It's just the spiritual part. There's no thought about marriage and divorce. I wouldn't dare to touch that subject here. But it's just the spiritual principle. And the people around that king, they understood one thing. They said, blessed king, your wife is an example for the rest of the nations. Now we have to understand that we are examples to one another. And I can now start to count myself more to the older generation. I'm now in my 50s. That's not extremely old, but I'm not directly invited to any kind of a youth meeting by the young people saying, Brother Marcus, you're one of us. They now do see me more as a seasoned person. But it's fine. But we have to understand that our life must be an example for the next generation. By our behavior and by our words and deeds. I was new in the church in Beatlesburg, and there were two boys coming in like this in the Sunday school. Now I did not know who the parents were, but later I found out a couple coming in like this into the sanctuary. So we understand how the children learned to disrespect God by the parents. I'm happy always to mention those things if you're there for the first time. Sometimes you have people that always come too late to church. It's not that there was too much traffic in North Carolina. It's a question of an attitude towards God. And there could be given many more examples. But what happens is the king said, look, we have now to find another queen. Therefore, I said there's no question now about marriage and divorce this morning. Not a question about this. But the rejection of one is the coming in of the other. The rejection of Israel brought the bride in, or brought the church in. The rejection of Laodicea brought the bride age in. The rejection of the whole world brings Israel back on the plan. One rejects and one comes in. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So what happens is, they were now searching a bride for the king. And I'm not, I'm saying it as pious or as, let me say, correct as I can do, but we cannot change the Bible. And here comes a story that the king, the nicest girls of the whole, of all these countries, were now brought together for the king. That king was a mighty man. He owned 127 countries. That was an emperor. And they were not bringing to that king anyone. But here comes Miss India. And here comes Miss Pakistan. And here comes Miss Babylon. And here comes Miss Egypt. And here comes... Now, it was the nicest girls that they brought to him. And the king had a certain policy to keep these girls under a woman's keeper. And according to the Bible, the king was calling for that girl. And let me say it like it is, he spent the night with that girl. I mean, that is exactly what the Bible says. And when he spent the night with that girl, he sent her away in a special care. And among all these girls, the king could choose his future wife. But these girls that he once knew, and you understand what I want to say, knew, became concubines unto the king. And whenever the king called for these concubines, he spent another night with that girl. I mean, that is exactly what the Bible says. So please, we cannot change the order of the Bible. And in reality, and I'm not hurting the feelings of these girls, because they all meant well, and they were all meaning of thinking that they became the queen, but I don't find a better word, but they were just toys. Nothing else than sexual toys for the king. And you remember the vision that Brother Branham had about the church at this day. He speaks about Miss America, Miss Europe, and Miss so-and-so. And they think to be right with God, but in reality, they had not any kind of a value in the eyes of God. Not at all. Until the prophet comes to the point that he says, I never saw so much devil on one place. Miss so-and-so, Miss Germany, or whatever. So this is the background that a young girl now comes in by the name of Esther or Hadassah. She is a Jew. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And I always want to say this, if you want to be blessed, you bless Israel. Exactly so. Amen. So she is brought in, and she has no father, nor mother. She is from the tribe of Benjamin, and she is now brought into the king's palace, and she is now in the time of her preparation to come into the house of the king, to be a possible new bride for that king. Now is a story which is going on right now. Now Brother Branham says this. He says, and the name of the city of my God, which is the new Jerusalem, which comes out of heaven from God, I put him. Oh, I see, it's all the names should be already called. See, I put him, the name of the city of my God. The city, he goes ahead, I say, which is the new Jerusalem. See, the new Jerusalem, I put him in the new Jerusalem. Now the bride or the church is the new Jerusalem, says Brother Branham. How many knows this? The church itself is the new Jerusalem. So we have to understand, and even what I say, that scriptures have a compound meaning. So we are waiting for the new Jerusalem to come, but on the other hand side, we are already the new Jerusalem. What a tremendous thing. And Brother Branham said, why God does God so care about that little place of Palestine? It's because the temple was set down exactly there. And if God takes care of Israel, how much will he take care of his bride? So we are in the hands of the Lord. So it came to pass that Esther, Hadassah, was a wise young girl. She had some tutorial work, or she had a tutor. First, it was her cousin. Sometimes people remember me and say it was her uncle, but if you see the Bible, it was her cousin. Mordecai was her cousin. And later she was done under the tutorship of Haggai. And brother, sister, it is wise to listen. It is wise. I have one gift in my life. It's not so much the speaking and not so much the English speaking. But I have a gift to realize the Holy Ghost in my brother. So I take my brother, whatever he says, and in my sister the same way, I take it serious. If somebody where I feel this is a man who serves the Lord, here I can see Christ in that man. For me, it's not only blah, blah what he says. I take serious what he says. Have you ever seen even a sister, have you ever seen even a child giving you a remark and you realize that was the Lord? If we are attentive, if we are willing to learn, God can use even a donkey speaking to us. I say sometimes to the church, sometimes the donkey is called Marcus Becker. But when we are ready to learn, God will let us grow. Now Esther had that capacity. Amen. And she was brought under the tutorship of Haggai in that palace. Now the Bible says this, and now the turn of Esther, the daughter of Abigail, the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken her for his daughter, was come to go into the king. She required nothing but what Haggai, the king's chamberlain, the keeper of the women, appointed. And Esther obtained favor in the sight of all them that looked upon her. Esther was taken unto the king Ahasuerus, into his house, into his royal house, in the 10th month, which is the month Tebet, in the 7th year of his reign. Now put on your spiritual jacket. Here is a rich king, and he is able to marry whom he wants. And the competition is great because the nicest girls from 127 countries come together, and one of these girls is Esther. But Esther is wise, as she required nothing than what Haggai appointed unto her. That means Esther knew that Haggai knew the taste of the king. Do you remember? And I want to say to a young generation, the message of the hour is not the base for discussion. It's not Brother Branham said, but I mean. Nobody was nearer to God than the prophet himself. Even sometimes when he says, that's my opinion, I say, Brother Branham, that's enough for me. Because I know that your opinion was so much in tune with God. Because God said, God said to Brother Branham, in that kind of prophecy, He said, because thou hast chosen my way. You did it according to your own will, but it was my way. So it was your way, but my way. It was your will, but my way. So we have to understand that it is wise to understand that the prophet knew the taste of God. Amen. The way he came to church is my way to come to church. Amen. The way to handle certain things is my way of handling certain things. I don't have to copy him, but I have to learn from him. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So Esther was taken in into the presence of the king on the 10th month of the 7th year. So when 10:7 was fulfilled, it was the time for Esther coming into the presence of the king. Can you say amen? It's a tremendous thing. So, blessed be the name of the Lord. It's our time. It's time of adoption. Hallelujah. Now here, Brother Branham explains what happens. And it's so important for us to see. Brother, the message that we believe is not another denomination. It's a gathering of the family of God. Amen. Because the prophet says this. Now, when we turn of Esther, the daughter of Abihail, the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken for his daughter, Esther was to become a bride. So she didn't want nothing, none of the adorning of the world. She wanted to go in through the king just like she was. She adorned themselves like the Pentecostal women ought to, with a meek and humble spirit. And when all these fancy first ladies came by with all their new fandangle things, the king looked at them and put them in the chamber with the concubines. But when this Esther came into his sight and when he got a glimpse of that sweet, humble, meek spirit, he said, that's her, go get the crown and put it on her head. Now you have to see the scenery. When the king was sitting on his chair, here comes the next lady. Maybe the next evening comes the next lady. And as he was an intelligent man, he was just looking at that girl. He said, well, now that is a good looking, nice young girl. But when Esther came into that room, she filled the room with the Holy Spirit. Esther was different than all the rest of them. That king had a caliber. And rather, someone who has caliber can recognize caliber. Only fools does not understand caliber. Anyone who has caliber understands caliber. Amen. And when Esther came through the door, when she came in, I can see that this big king just stood up. And he understood, now here comes somebody who has another caliber than all the girls that came in. Amen. That girl was different. It was not the message of the hour that we believe is more than long hair and long dress, because every Muslim can have long hair and long dress. The holiness movement can be more holy than us. That is not our message. But it's the Holy Spirit that goes with us. It's the family tree. It's our origin. It's our identification, which is in our Father. So you can see, when she came in, she had nothing to bring. It was just a little widow or a little orphan. The king was king over 127 countries. But when she came in the room, she took over. And we have to understand, when we come in the house of God as the family of God, I believe that the same pillar of fire that was with the prophet is with those who would serve the Lord. Not as a platform demonstration. Not as playing Brother Branham again, but as the family of God who comes together. It's a special reunion. That king was baffled. That king, he didn't have words. That king was finished when he saw her entering in. Amen. Amen. She was taking over. She was a one woman invasion to that king. Not one man invasion, one woman invasion. Can you say amen? Now let me read something to you as we understand the time that we're in. And that we understand we are special people. Amen. And in French, and brother Barry will understand it, there is a slogan which says noblesse oblige. Amen. In English, we would say nobleness obligates. Because if you're from the family of God, you have another behavior than just a church member. It's not that you can be in the woods making anything. You can hunt, you can fish, but you are not part of this world. Amen. Blessed be the. Your behavior is different. Your talk is different. Therefore, I realize we have too much people in the message of the hour. They do not really know who they are. Amen. Therefore, they talk like they talk and they act like they act. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, here is this is just an illustration. Brother Bram said, now, if you notice in Revelation 1, we find Jesus standing in the seven church ages, the seven golden candlestick, when he turned and saw one like the Son of Man standing with a, how it was? It was the bride standing in the candlesticks drawn out. An invisible union, and I just read a fragment, it's not the whole quote. He said, Jesus in bride form, come to the head here. Now it's forming up into a head for the rapture. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So I hope I can make the next one. Yes, sir. Now here we go. To understand the time and understand, that we cannot go back into some kind like a spiritual amnesia. Now this is just the picture that Brother Branham drawed in the stature of a perfect man. And I just put the anointings and the messengers, not more. I think it's clear. Now, in the beginning is the day of Pentecost. Brother Branham, he doesn't start the first church age 33 after Christ, but 53 after Christ. There's 20 years in between. And the prophet said when the first messenger Paul came, the church was already a fallen woman. That's what it is. That's what he says in the resume of the church age. So when Paul came, he was laying a foundation upon every church age would build up. Amen. But if you want to build a house, you cannot lay foundation upon foundation upon foundation. You better should put some walls onto it. Amen. And when the walls are finished, you are crowning your building by the roof. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So we see that in those seven church ages, there is a starting point and there is a perfectioning point. There is a beginning point and there is a finishing point. This day is a special place. It's a special date. Because this is the time of the invisible union of the heavenly bridegroom and the earthly bride. Can you say amen? So if somebody gives the slogan, let's go back to Pentecost, there's nothing wrong with it. But you have to put it positionally right. Because we have a lot of young people and of our generation, in reality, and I hope I'm not hurting anybody's feeling of the youngsters, but sometimes we become religious in the message. And what some of these youngsters need is a real baptism of the Holy Ghost. He said, Pentecost is an experience everyone must have. However it comes. Now, I will not make a picture. We come out of Pentecost. And I know how the older brothers told us, and I saw a star, and I saw a light, and I saw this, and we thought we must have it that way. If not, we don't have it. And I believe that was not right, because God has many ways. He said, so we went out and make a pattern. So everybody must have it. But brother, if you want to marry, you cannot stay a baby. Amen. Because God will not marry a baby. Amen. Now, to be born again is wonderful, but there's more than to be born again. Because it comes to a time of an adoption. Now, to say back to Pentecost and say, we need people who need the Holy Ghost. Amen. Blessed be the name. Yes, sir. But to say we have to go back into a former age, I believe that's the wrong direction. Because God never goes back. Or even to say, let's go back to the beginning. Why should I go back in the beginning when the beginning was falling? Why should I go back 2,000 years ago when I know there has never been a day like this day before? Can you say amen? Because the first church age never had rapturing faith. Now, in these seven churches, we have seven messengers. Only one had the right to write the Bible. That was Paul. All the rest were just reformers. And only one of the sevens had the right to reveal the seven thunders. That was the prophet. Amen. And those thunders give rapturing faith to the bride. So why should I go back to a beginning knowing we have far more than they ever had? Can you say amen? Now, so if you place it correctly, then everything is fine. But this is a special day. This is a special time. This is the time of reunion. Therefore, Paul never mentions Esther. For Martin Luther, the book of Esther was just too feminine. It was just too Jewish. It was just too... But for us, we understand we are that Esther. It's a time of a marriage. Can you say amen so far? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. And this is just the same picture, just put together in that way. I don't put it like Brother Lonnie put it on one another, but it's exactly the same thing. Now, here's what the prophet said. They are away from the church. The church absolutely is raptured at this time. The church goes up in the fourth chapter of Revelation and does not return until it comes back with the king in the 19th chapter. And we know that's the rapture, but we know everything has a compound meaning. You see? So, it cannot be seen anymore. This is the time where the head, or Brother Bram said, the entire Holy Ghost came upon the church. Because for a real marriage, you need both. The female and the male. And the first church was deceived because he was not there. The word. As Brother Branham was not in Azusa Street, Paul was not in the upper room. If Paul would have been in the upper room, the first church never would have been deceived. The first church had a lot of problems, though they had the Holy Ghost. But you read the Bible carefully. None of the first apostles knew who the first messenger was. And therefore they had their councils and talking, and Paul came. And they didn't. Now, if I would have been among those, I would have stood up. I would say, gentlemen, it's all fine. Peter, James, John, now you're a great man, but look, here is the first church age messenger. Paul is there. Exactly. But none of them saw him. None of them. Martin Luther did not know who he was. Now, if we are transformed in time, and here would come Martin Luther, and here comes little Marcus Becker, I would say, Mr. Luther, do you know who the fifth angel was? He said, that was you. Because by the message of the hour, we now see everything. And we don't only see what happened in the past, we see the present. Here we are. Nobody could tell us than the seventh messenger. Therefore, to depart from the message of the hour is sealing your own death. You go back into darkness. Can you say amen? Therefore, it's nothing wrong, but we have to understand that God said to Brother Branham, you cannot teach Pentecostal babies. Now, if they are babies, they are born again. If not, they were not babies. You cannot teach Pentecostal babies supernatural things. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So they are born again, but after to be born again, now let's raise. Let's come to a stature. Let's grow. Let's mature. Let's come. Let's be one with the headstone. Can you say amen? So my direction cannot be, let's go back, because in former times it was better than now. This is the best time ever in the plan of God. Amen. So therefore, we don't have self-pity. Please don't have self-pity with yourself. Yeah, Brother Marcus, but, and the great revivals. Brother Ram said the revival is over. But at the same time, he said the bride did not have her revival yet. That means there will be a revival like never before. It will be another form of a revival. Can you say amen? What we say, a word revival. Amen. Therefore, we see people sleeping in the church. Amen. Not only once. Every Sunday they are sleeping. They come faithfully. Amen. But faithfully they sleep. At least they are blessed because they sleep at the right place. But you understand, people who always begin to sleep, they lost their vision. Therefore, people don't read the message like they should do because they lost their vision. They don't teach their children to sit there and talk about the message because they lost completely their vision. For them, the message of the hour became a pure denomination. They just have God sent a prophet, not more. God help us. Can you say amen? So the church is not be seen anymore. Now, I will not make that thing like I did last Sunday. I will just explain it. Now, my wife, when she married, she got a new name. My wife was called Turan before, you see? But now she's Becker, Martina Becker, my wife. So if the police comes in and says, we are searching Martina Turan, she's not there anymore. No, there is no. Amen. 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 She's there and not there. Because her identity became you. They say, you can shoot me down, but there is no Martina Becker. She changed her name. When I was a young boy, I was as foolish as all the young boys. So I went to the French Foreign Legion for a year. I mean, as a mercenary, or how they call it, you know, before my conversion, okay? So what they do in the French Foreign Legion, they accept all the criminals to go in there. And if you arrive there, you just get a number. You are number 38, or 1,000 so-and-so. When you leave out of the French Foreign Legion after 5 years, you get a complete new identity. I mean, you get a passport with a city where you were born, where you never was born. So I was born in Germany, in Cologne, and they would give me a passport and say, this is not Marcus Becker, but this is Marcus Becker, born in Paris. You get a complete new identification. That means if Interpol or somebody else comes, or the government, we say, we are searching here Marcus Becker. They said, there is no Marcus Becker. He's still there. The body is there. But he changed his identity. Can you say amen? So what happened is when the church goes up, yes, but there is another thing that happens. He comes down. And if you're standing on that little mountain and the cloud comes down, you are just in that cloud. Amen. You'll not be seen anymore, but you're still there. Amen. Blessed be then. That's the place where we are. We are already on our way for the rapture. I call it raptured condition. You say the rapture is not like brother, like people think, like in denomination, it just goes like this. Yes, the body change. But we are already on our circle of leaving the things of the world and coming up into a. And who brought us? The opening of the word. Because we understand who we were. And so therefore we say, no, we make it. Because we were children in the beginning. Can you say amen? Therefore it's so important to understand this. Amen. Maybe I make it black, if you wouldn't mind. Okay, you see, I'm messed up. Can you make it black, brother? Thank you very much. So what happens is this. That Esther had a changing of her ministry. She was becoming the wife. And when the Jews were under trouble, under persecution, Mordecai told her, now, who knows if you're not purposely put into that position to save the Jews? Now, you remember when after the Second World War, in the Nuremberg trials, there were 10 of the great Nazi leaders that were killed. And by hanging, death by hanging. And one of them said, "This is Purim Feast, 1946. And he remembered the revenge of Esther. He said, he brought it in our time, exactly so. So Esther came into her position, and when the onslaught was going on, the threat for the Jewish, she was the only one who could touch the heart of the king. Amen. Now, do we remember when we have a prayer meeting? Or do we just have a denominational prayer meeting of Lord, you should, and Lord, you should, and Lord, you should, and short, it should be. Do we remember who we are? Amen. That God is watching his children? Very, very carefully. Or just, do we just talk to God like any Pentecostal can do? Lord, you promised this, and you said this, and you promised this. Or do we come and without, in few words, we can say a lot to our Father, because there is a connection. Amen. Do you know that your words for your Father mean a lot? You are not just a number in the church. Amen. Amen. If you're missing, it's not that a place is, a seat is empty, but you are missing. God will just hunt you until he gets you back, because you're part of the family of God. So when Esther came into the king's palace, the king was just standing up from his throne. He said, "Esther, unto the half of my kingdom I will give unto you." There was still the love of a king for that young girl. Do we understand that for the world, love is a feeling? For us, love is a substance. It's a person. Amen. And it came in our time. Esther said, "Let the king come into my house." Right. Tomorrow. Hallelujah. Now, on the third day, Esther said, "Let the king come in my house tomorrow." That means that would be the fourth day. Four, said Brother Branham, is the number of human deliverance. Four always is the number of deliverance. Hallelujah. Three men came to Job. The fourth one was God, was Elihu. Amen. Three men were in the fiery furnace. The fourth one was God himself. Blessed be the name. Three times God calls Samuel, and Eli the priest said, "If he calls you again, say, Lord, speak to me." The fourth time was a message. And you can give a lot of examples on this. So the story continues that when Esther was in the female palace, that the next day the king came to Esther. In our biblical story, it's the first time that the king left his palace and went to her. Hallelujah. Amen. Can you say amen? Amen. I always have a very nice demonstration, and I could always do it over and over to make us known who our Father is. Amen. There was a young boy who wanted to buy some dogs. And when he came into the shop where they had the dogs, the owner of these dogs came down the staircase. And the boy said, "I want to have this dog." And the owner said, "Why do you want to have this dog?" "Because, I mean, it doesn't have the value like the rest. It's just handicapped. He cannot walk." And the boy puts off his rolls off his trousers, and from his knee on, he has an artificial leg. And the boy says, "I want to have this dog, because if we go out, he understands me, and I understand him." Amen. And Brother Branham says this, Jehovah became man to understand man. And then he even says this, Jehovah became teenager to understand the teenagers. That's our Father. That's our God. Therefore, when we have thanksgiving, we think about how great He is and how lovely He is. I'm a father of a daughter. And you see, when I'm coming home, I don't want her to be on her knees. And she says, oh, father comes home. Father comes home. He goes to work so I can go to McDonald's. Thank you, father. I mean, we don't have a Muslimic approach in this message. I want her to just grab me and say, hey, daddy's home. Do you understand one thing, that in the house of the Lord, your father is waiting for you? Wants to talk to you. Amen. Blessed be the name. We say, yes, we have to praise Him, how great He is. Now we can do this. There's nothing wrong with this, but God had the angels to do this. Now we talk different to Him. We say how much we love Him. What He means to us. Amen. What this message means to us. That was the talking of our Father to us. So what happens is this, that when Esther, when the king for the first time left his throne and went into the house with Esther, to Esther, and there was Haman. And they all came together. And again, the king was drinking a little bit and says, Esther, I love you so much. Amen. So you see, that love was more than just a feeling. Again, the king says, Esther, I'm so much in love with you. Ask for the half of your kingdom. Amen. And Esther said, if the king would do me a favor and would come back tomorrow again. Now, the threat is there. Haman is there. She could have just talked. But she said, if the king would come back tomorrow again. Hallelujah. And I want to be honest with you. I was really thinking for many, many days about why didn't Esther say right at the first opportunity. Now this, because he told her. Amen. But the next day, that was the scripture that we were reading, the king comes with Haman into the house of Esther again. And again he says, Esther, you found so much favor in my eyes. Just ask. Amen. But do you know what happened in between of the first coming of the king and the second of the king coming of the king? The king had a bad night. Amen. And the Bible says a book was opened. Amen. A book was opened. And in these books were names. And one was Mordecai. And these people. And how generous they are. How great they were. Amen. And the king was still enthused about the nobleness and the gallant man Mordecai and about the Jews and all these things. And now the scenery was set that Haman comes and the king asks, and Esther said, look, we are just some Jews and he wants to kill us. And the king jumps up because in that night before, the king's book was opened and he saw who is who. The opening of the seals is not just a doctrinal thing. It's not that we know more than the Pentecostals. The opening of the book was showing my inheritance from where I come. And from that brings us together. Because, brother and sister, one thing is honest. We had a minister's meeting. And the brother had an idea that we'll get to acquainted to one another by presenting. And everybody was presenting how he comes to the Lord. And one of the brothers said, look, I forgot already. We have so much meaning. I forgot who is who. But give me one of your sermons and I can tell you if we are brothers. Because we are real friends by the same vision. Amen. Not by just being in the message, but by having the same vision that makes us the same father. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. So what happens is this. So Esther says this. The king jumps up. And the king runs out into the garden. Just goes out. And he might look back. And everything has a signification, but I don't want to just guessing at the pulpit. But he goes into the garden. And I always say he comes back after half an hour, but that's pure Marcus, okay? He's just cooking. In the meantime, Haman did not go to the king for intercession. Amen. Or having a word to the king, he goes to Esther. Because he understands one thing. Amen. That he and her became one. The time that we live in. His word is her word. And her word will be his word. See, amen. So the Haman didn't go and said, hey, come on, king. Do you know who I am? And this little girl from the... No. He knew one thing. Ahasuerus has 27 countries in his hand. But he knows too, Esther has the heart of Ahasuerus in her hand. Do you understand? Therefore, he did not go to the king. He knew where to address it. He went to the queen. He said, please have a word for me. Now you have to understand one thing and see it in the seven church ages. That both Haman and Esther never had a clash. Haman was as much respected in the king's house as Esther. There was no trouble between Haman and the king. Amen. And there were seven church ages where both wines were just growing and blessed under the same king. But the moment that the false wine tried to destroy the real wine, the king had to intervene. Amen. Amen. Haman, he tried to combat the wrong kind of person. If Haman would have hated any kind of nation, that would be not as difficult for the king. But here he goes against the Jews. And God inspired that king and said, don't allow that hands were put on the Jews. Can you say amen? Amen. Amen. So the king comes out from the garden. Amen. Right. All furious. You know, if somebody is really, really furious, he doesn't say a word. Now, in a marriage, as long as you are shouting to one another, there is still hope. But if the time comes that you don't share a word with one another, then it becomes really critical. Amen. So the king comes in and he sees Haman laying upon Esther. Not in an immoral way, not at all. But he was just trying to find favor, knowing that his fate was sealed. And now you see that the king becomes bodyguard of Esther. You see? Because the king says, will he just put force now on the queen? So it was not the queen just serving him. And he said, okay, look, I'm the king, Esther. Okay, if she's put away, I'll marry another one. That was not possible. His love for her was so strong that he gets personally enraged against Haman. Amen. Do we understand that we had in all these church ages, we had a putting away, a new messenger comes and all these things, a war is declared, a seal is open, a group is sealed in, and then the next messenger comes. But now she becomes so much her that whoever who wants to touch her, God comes. Personally. And defends you because he understands this is now the masterpiece of my whole plan. Can you say amen? The same for Israel. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So what happens that Esther, became an intercessor for her people. In reality, it was always the king, but her word became so important for the king. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So we understand our position. That when we pray, we're not just repeating like the Baptists. Amen. Amen. We have a father. My father is my bridegroom. I mean, my judge is my attorney. This is not just going back to the beginning. This is the full ending. This is the perfecting of the church. Can you say amen? Now that thought, and let me finish by this. That thought that we see of God coming down, that we see on that picture of the seven church ages. Amen. He came down. Christ came down to marry us. Amen. Christ came down so that He and the church would become one. Amen. Amen. And that means that our word one day, Brother Branham was the only messenger who had the third pull. Amen. A person said to me, yes, Brother Marcus, but they had so much signs and wonders in the early church. I said, yes, they had them already in the Old Testament. Signs and wonders were always in the Old Testament. That's not a sign for nothing. But here is the prophet. God says to him, I am the Almighty, but you speak. That is His church. So He's coming down, let me say, in the spiritual way. We're still waiting for Him to meet Him in the air. I mean, keep a balance. Though I personally believe it will be a changing of dimension, but this is just Marcus. Amen. A brother said to me, because Brother Bram says both in one messages. He said to me, Brother Mark, I don't believe it like this. I believe we are just passing the moon and the stars. I said, look, let's go both in the rapture and we will see how it was. Amen. So we'll not make an issue where is no issue. I have my thought, but this is personal. Amen. Let's go both in the rapture. We will see how it was. But God always, do you see the changing of the picture? That king was not King Bokassa. We said, okay, let's worship me, all of you. The king became the bodyguard for the queen. He himself. That queen had nothing to give. And he, on her behalf, said, amen, went directly to help her. Amen. Now, God came down to become man. God came down every evening in the Garden of Eden. Amen. You see, for Jehovah God, there was much to do in the Garden of Eden, or in His kingdom. I mean, all these cherubims and all these seraphims and all the planets to control. I mean, there's much to do in the whole universe. There's quite some work to do. But every evening, God comes in the Garden of Eden to take care of His family. And brother, if you have children, don't let your hobby, don't let your car, don't let your fishing be more important than the children. God showed what it means to be a father, making them first. And then they had their family altar every evening. And it was not that He was just preaching to them. Brother Bram said, God came down and asked, children, how was your day? God is interested. How do you feel? How are you doing? Now, if you pray, don't just say some hypocritical words. Just, Heavenly Father, that's the way I feel. I'm frustrated. That's the way I feel. Amen. God is not interested in just Muslimic worship, because He has all the angels who can just say, holy, holy. That's fine, and that's part of our worship. But we are children. We have something else to say. You just say, Heavenly Father, would You help me? I have a weakness in this part. And God would say, I know the weakness. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Can you say amen? God came personally down to destroy the Tower of Babylon. Amen. God came personally down to shut the door of Noah's ark. He said, I came down to shut. Amen. God came personally down to protect Abraham's wife, Sarah. Amen. When Abraham said to the Pharaoh, and said, this is my sister, and Brother Brandon makes a little drama. He said he puts off his pajama. He had his prayers. And he was thinking about that nice girl. Now God just came. And he said, you are good as a dead man. And Brother Brandon explains. He said, Sarah was the wife of a prophet. And God protected her for that. Amen. Don't you think that God will protect us? As long as we stay behind the word, that God will do His part. Amen. God came down to Abraham and gave him His promise personally. Hallelujah. God came down to wrestle with Jacob and gave him his new identity. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. God came down to meet Moses and gave him his commission. He says, I came down, but I sent you. Amen. God came down to open the Red Sea. Amen. Do we understand the picture of a king loving so much that queen? Of a father loving so much his children? Amen. That God is not sitting just in heaven and says, okay, Hickory Tabernacle, maybe you are 150, 200 people, but only 50 will make it. The rest I'm not interested in. Amen. And God just sitting there, so we will see who will make it. God says, if you want, I come down to help you. He says, you do your part, but I will do my part. Amen. And at the Red Sea, those children of Israel, they were just standing there. And whatever they would have done, they could have sang, they could have jumped, they could have shouted, they could become emotional, but it would not work. God had to come down and open that sea. Do we understand that we can do as much as we do to make the rapture? But there comes a point where God has to come and pick us up exactly where we are. Brother Bram speaks about the angel that came to Elijah. He said, if you come to the end of your possibilities, God is obligated to send the same angel to you. What a mighty God we serve. What a father we have. What a thanksgiving to say, hey, Brother Marcus, what is your doctrine? I tell you my doctrine. As for me and my heart, we serve the Lord. I don't understand everything, but what I understand, let me go forward with this. And the things I don't understand yet, I go forward. And how hard is it to serve the Lord? To serve the Lord is my pleasure. Because He's such a wonderful Father. Can you say amen? God came down to meet Joshua. God came down to Gideon and gave him his commission. Amen. You see the picture? Gideon, all frustrated, so fearful. And here comes God. He says, Gideon, mighty man who makes the rapture. Oh, me, the rapture. Oh, no. If you would know all my problems, mighty man who makes the rapture. Amen. Mighty man. Amen. God gives him his right commission. Do you know that God knows already who is in the rapture this evening? Amen. Now, I don't make a doctrine out of it, although for me the point is clear. Amen. If our earthly tabernacle will be dissolved, we have a building not made by hand, but eternal by God. And Brother Ram said, that is your theophany. Amen. God will not just see 5 minutes before your death. Will he get a theophany? Did he always pay his tithings? Was he always nice to Marcus Becker? You see, if I will have a theophany, I had one. Because that building is eternal. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It must be here already for me. Wherever it is, in what dimension, we don't make a doctrine, but it's already there. Because if a baby dies, and Brother Ramsey, if it's predestined, it goes to the bride. That means there must be a theophany. Amen. So my insurance is paid. Amen. Therefore, Brother Branham comes to the Christian businessman and was asked, what is your profession? He says, I'm selling assurances. And the brother sells insurances. and Brother Branham was asked, which company? He says, in heaven. And the brother said, don't know that company. So you understand, Christian businessman, the level. On which Brother Bram had to preach among the Christian businessmen. I mean, he had to come back to the Lutheran understanding of things. I mean. And then this man is so proud. He said, my insurance will bring you up to the grave. And Brother Bram said, and my assurance will take you out of the grave. So you cannot sing yourself into it. Nobody can preach you in it. It's not because I joined tears. I said, because I was in the mind of my Father. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Can you say amen? Amen. God came pressing down to wake up Samuel. God came down to lead the stone on Goliath's front. Again, same principle. You do your part. Do your part. Don't sit here and say, okay, if I'm predestined, I can drink. Nobody preaches this. But if you did your part, the rest your Father will do for you. If you really did your part, because Brother Bram said when David had that little stone, he was in, I'm making it the wrong way in, here in the U.S., but he was just... And Brother Bram said when the stone left the hand of David, God took that stone. And God was writing an address on that stone. Front of Goliath. That means if Goliath would have made this or that, that stone knew an address. That stone would have gone around the corner to find that to that front. Blessed be. I mean, God took that stone into His hand. If you do your things faithfully, I mean, be sure your Father will not forget you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. God came personally down to His weary prophet Elijah. He says, Elijah, what are you doing here? Or what dost thou hear, Elijah? Or what dost thou hear? God came personally down to, or the angel came down to give him a meal with some vitamins to run 40 days and 40 nights. Brother Bram said, I want to know the vitamins in that cookies. I always say this, the message of the hour is Red Bull. I was a small boy when I was young. Very small boy. I had two stars in my life. One was Arnold Schwarzenegger and one was Sylvester Stallone. So I started to make bodybuilding. And I want to tell the young brothers here, you have to understand one thing. Everything that is here was here. It is just a changing of dispensations. It's now here. You see. So I saw one time Arnold Schwarzenegger, I think it was in, we were not unbelievers at that time, and he was just using his breast muscle. So I went to make bodybuilding and I went before the mirror, but nothing was moving. But I learned one thing. If you want to have muscles, you cannot eat McDonald's. Amen. And if you want to have spiritual muscles, you cannot eat too much Facebook. You need spiritual food in due seasons. And I'm afraid sometimes of the younger generation that they are too much in the social part of the message, which is okay, which is fine. Nothing wrong with that. But you have to find a direction to your Father. My Father is my Creator. I have a Maker, but I have more. I have a Father. And my Father is my husband. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. In that picture, not in the whole understanding of the Godhead. Please understand me right. Amen. Amen. God came down to reveal the identity of Job. Brother Bram said, Job was a blessed man in misery. Amen. And here comes his three friends, and they mean well. The first one was a nice Lutheran. He said, Job, hey, come on. You just have to believe, man. Just believe. Only believe. The second was a Methodist. He said, Job, now you have to feel it, how it goes, the spin up and down. That's fine. The third one said, Job, you have to speak in tongues. And that's all fine. You see, we have gifts. I still have a gift. It's nothing wrong with this. Absolutely so. But then Elihu came. And Brother Bram said, that was God. El is God. El Shaddai. That's right. Elohim. Elihu. And he shows Job his whole life. He says, look, Job, when you die, you will have a new body. You will be young again. And Job stood up. He said, I know that my Redeemer lives. And this should be enough for Job. But then God comes. He said, Job, stop being a baby. Stop being in your diapers. Job, stand before me like a man. In other words, hey, stand before us of somebody who has grown in the message. Somebody who came into maturity. Somebody who knows who he is. And then he said this, Job, where were you? You would just ask the question, where were you when the sons of God were shouting for joy? And Job said, Lord, hallelujah. Once I spoke without understanding, but I will never do it again. Blessed be the name. Can you say amen? I mean, God came down personally. God came down personally in the fiery furnace of Babylon. God came down to give Mary a pregnation. God came down on Mount Transfiguration to meet Christ. God came personally down on the day of Pentecost. God came personally down to meet Paul on the way to Damascus. God came personally down to open the prison bars of Paul and Barnabas. God came personally down to Martin and hided himself as a beggar. I mean, Martin the great soldier just departing his mantle to a dead beggar. And in the same night, God came to him in a dream. He said, I was in that beggar. You didn't give it to that beggar, you gave it to me. Blessed be the God. I believe that God comes more often to our homes person than we think. Amen. God is maybe more often nearer to our life than we would believe. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. God came personally to Brother Branham to give him his commission, his peculiar birth. God came personally to the Ohio River. God came personally down to make a picture of himself with the pillar of fire. And we always say that's Brother Branham with the picture of fire. That's not so. Brother Branham says God wanted to make a picture of himself. And he allowed that I'm on the picture too. So for us to be an unbeliever is more difficult than to be a believer. God says, I will make it so simple for you. God came down on Mount Sunset, or Christ came down on Mount Sunset to become the bridegroom of the bride. Amen. God comes personally to take his bride. Amen. And God comes personally to reveal himself to Israel. He will not sin. And here's what Brother Abraham said, I'm finishing. He says this. Whenever it becomes important for God, he's not sending someone else. He comes personally. And Brother Brian makes a drama about these three young men in the fiery furnace. And I have to put in my own words, just to spare time. He said, here was those angels. He was woodworm. And he says, let me go down. And God says, woodworm, I know you are a great angel, very faithful. But I watched these boys all night and I saw their prayer meeting. And then Brother Bam says this. God says, I have to go down myself because it's a man-sized job. And then he says this. I have to go myself. Hallelujah. Do you understand that God, that's a man-sized job today? And that we are not just message believers and believe in a God far away, but we become the manifestation of God. And this is not some kind of like a strange idea, because when she becomes him, so he wants to use your lips. You say sometimes something, and in reality it was God using your lips. That is the mystery behind every preacher. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And still, we are just sinners saved by grace. And he is the mighty God. It's not a question. Always keep the... But it's more than us being just people from America. Amen. We come so much into an adoption that for us, the rapture will be just a normal step to go. It will not... So, oh, I will be surprised by the rapture. He said, no, God made it so clear from where I come from and who I am. For me, the rapture is... Amen. Do you know that the resurrection was an event and was a person? Jesus said, I am the resurrection. Do you know the rapture is an event and is a person? Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. The rapture came to us in Christ's form. Hallelujah. And still it's an event that we are going. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Let me just show a last picture. Would you do this, brother, for me? Just to explain, it's always a little bit heartfelt, but brother, sister, the message that we believe is a heart's message. It's more than just a doctrine. I understand this and understand that. You make the next one, please, the last one. Thank you very much. Appreciate. Amen. Therefore, that no, sir, because these are deleted. Just, yeah, thanks. Yes, that's it. Right. Our Father. The thanksgiving. I hope there will be today a lot of joy, rejoicing. As I said, Brother Marcus, what is your doctrine? Our doctrine is our Father. If we understand everything the right way, give me a little bit of time in life, then I understand things clearer and better, then I could bring it out. But one thing is sure, we are proud of our Father. This picture is not a is not a grandfather and his children. This is a father and his child. And the father is so old because he has cancer. He has not any more time to live, very, very close to live. But he understands one thing. One day my little girl will marry. And that little girl doesn't have a husband yet. She's maybe 12 years, maybe 10 years old. And what they do, he says, I will not have any longer to live. And there's nobody who brings her to the altar. Because I have to die soon. Huh? So they were just making a marriage ceremony until the father brings the daughter to the altar and they're stopping there. And when the girl will marry one day, they will continue exactly at that spot so that she can say, my father brought me to the altar. Do we understand as fathers and mothers, nobody can take your place? I mean, how much should we be consecrated to God to be the best fathers and the mothers in this world? I mean, how we should be an example if we say the message of the hour, it's more than just, I believe in William Branham. It must say, God's word transformed me. Amen. That we must say today, honestly, brother, I'm still in the flesh, but I am the message of the hour. The message of the hour is not just in books and tapes, but the bride becomes the message of the hour. Do we understand how sometimes we stand in our own ways? And do we understand that though we are little children, we have a great father? Because if an earthly father can do this, what about our heavenly father? Amen. If the musicians would come and we can put away the amen. Can you say amen? Amen. What a father we have. What a mighty message. Maybe we sing the song, one or two songs, and then I ask brother, I have a father. I have a maker. Do you have it? Huh? I have a... This was just a talk from my heart to all of us for Thanksgiving. You know that Thanksgiving Day, I know that the Americans are bad in geography and they're bad in history. Amen. Thank you for the amen, brother. Because it's a fact, you know. But do you know that that this day, I think it was invented by Abraham Lincoln. No? It was Lincoln or Washington. I think it was Lincoln. Lincoln. And you know that Thanksgiving Day was invented, and he called it a commemoration day to thank the Almighty God that he gave us this land. And do you know that this day has become a barbecue day? Not more. A hanging around, a Disneyland day for the Americans. But there should be times when we come to peace, come to rest, and think about our Father. Therefore, it's so important. The whole Sunday is a Shabbat day. It's a day to serve the Lord, to think about eternity. To think not about my problems, because your problems will find you on Monday. Amen. But why don't you just make a break and take a day in the week and say, let my problems be problems. I will not solve them. But I will remember who I am really. I'm that Esther. And how that great king just taken me to marry me as a wife. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What a father we have. I have a maker. Let us sing it if it's fine for you. The If before even time began, my life was in his hand. He knows my name. calls me his soul. Say amen. Amen. What a father we have. Let us sing a second song, and maybe you will see it again. And I bless your name. Is that is fine for you? And because I just want to share, this is a very small testimony. You can be standing or seating however you want. It's a true story again. Just to make brother and sister, to the message of the hour, it was not only revealing mysteries. Schofield had already mysteries. But it was in the days of the seventh angel, the mystery of God will be revealed. There was a lot of interpretation. I believe God and his family, but that is Marcus. But what happened is that for the first time the heart of God was revealed. Who he is really, how he believes, how he thinks, how he loves his children. Martin Luther was a lot of warfare to one another. Amen. But here the heart of God became, how lovely he is, how he loves his bride. There is a true story in the beginning of last century about an earthquake in Armenia. And the school was collapsing, and after some hours of working they stopped to rescue the children because they thought nobody had survived. But one father, he was just grabbing with his hands. I think for 16 or 18 hours, just grabbing with his hands into the sand and getting deeper and deeper. And some of the people helped him because they thought the father's crazy because his boy didn't survive that. But when they were just grabbing and grabbing and grabbing, they came to a spot where these youngsters were. Amen. And they were sheltered in some kind like a cellar. And there was enough oxygen so that they could survive. So they were surviving, those youngsters. And it's a true story. And the testimony of the boy, of that father who was grabbing, was this. My father will not let me hear. The boy said, the same boy of that father told right down beneath the earth, my father will do everything to get me out from here. And I tell you, in the supernatural, there must be, the heart of that father must have heard what his boy confessed down there. Amen. Do you remember that we live, the Bible says, the bride and the spirit and the bride says, come. The bride says, come. And the spirit says, come. And Brother Bram said, it's magnetized. It's a whole love affair of our father. Therefore, it's a pleasure to serve in this message. There's nobody can take me away from this. There's no way, because I understand that's the word of my Father. Blessed be the name. What a mighty God we have. I bless your name. In prisoner's chains.
This service this morning, and it's in the form of a question. How many of you would like to hear more of that? Come away, my bride. Come away. You just pray for Brother Marcus. He hasn't been feeling really good, but let's just pray that the Lord will work on his heart tonight. You know what? I appreciate a message from the bride to the bride. That's a bride message. That's what that's about. It just thrills my heart. I'll tell you that. It just thrills my heart. Come away. I have waited for this day. again now. Just something I know. I know He won't forget me. I know He won't leave me behind. Do I make mistakes? Yes. Do I mess up? Yes. But you know what? This isn't based on my conduct. This is based on the election. And I know my God won't forget me. Let's sing it one more time, Brother Steve. I'm going to ask you if you'd come and close in a word of prayer this morning. Aren't you glad you came to the house of the Lord? Don't miss it tonight. Come away.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we are so thankful, this being Thanksgiving week. We are so very thankful to be able to call you Father. And no doubt the word Father in here means many different things to a lot of different people. Maybe we've been raised in different kind of homes where we didn't have a good dad. Lord, may each one of us know the love that you have shown to us, not only this morning, but time and time again through our lives. You are there for us. And that love does not change. Lord, the circumstances change, our lives, the different things that come and go, the difficulties that we face, everything around us is shifting. But your love does not change. You are consistent. And for that, Lord, we are thankful. And for the vision that you've given us, Lord. And not only just giving it to us, but allowing us to step in and to be the fulfillment of that vision. For that, we are thankful. Oh, Lord, may your presence may we just soak up your presence this morning. And may we take it with us out of the doors. Lord, may you maintain this atmosphere for the service to come this evening. We pray your blessing upon Brother Becker, Lord. We thank you for him and his life, for ministering the word. Lord, we pray for one another. We ask that you just help us, Lord, as we put one foot in front of the other and keep walking this narrow road. We pray for one another that you'd help us, Lord. We love you and we thank you. And in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray and submit the remainder of this day. Amen.
Sing as we go today. Don't do anything to disturb this atmosphere. Bring it back with you. And may God bless you this morning. Come away.
Jesus.